As promised, we're here with Wandile Shishlobo today from Agbiz, and he's going to share some thoughts on his views basically going forward into the summer grain season with a lot of uncertainty currently entering into the markets. Welcome, Wandile. We're very glad to have you here today.
Now, thanks for having me on, Johnny. I don't think even, Johnny, I will share thoughts. I think we'll have conversation because I'm actually also interested to hear how you are reading this season. Because from where I sit, I mean, we started last year, excessive rains from when the summer crop season in October, to the extent that some people saw a bit of a month or so delay in their plantings. But then they began planting and the crop was looking great. I remember in December driving around the Midrand, the Midlands area of KZN in the Eastern Cape, parts of Free State, and it was looking great, but it was clear that for some region the crop was about a month or so late. And even when I spoke with Grain SA colleagues, it looks like they are generally happy with what they are seeing and hearing from their members. But I wanted to hear from you. How are you seeing? What do you see when you drive around? What do you hear from people when you speak with them?
Yeah, definitely. I think it will definitely be an interesting discussion regarding the crops. I think the general feeling that I'm getting is that we had good rainfall, and I think we're expecting a good crop, maize, and soybeans, for instance. I think there was late plantings. There was some concern about the heat wave that went through some areas that had some strain regarding drought. But I think in recent times, we definitely got some rain in those areas. And I think from a crop perspective or from a production or a supplies perspective, I don't really see a lot of issues entering into the markets as we move to July at the moment. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean it's the same. It's the same, and I do think though that even the rain that we've started receiving since the start of February, because one of the things we are worried a lot about is the heat wave, particularly for areas under irrigation. Because Johnny, as you know, I mean we still have about 20% of our maize under irrigation, 15% of soybean under irrigation. So with load shedding and the disruption, we were worried that hey, there is a bit of strain, and that intense load shedding also coincided with the heat wave in some of the areas. But I think since we started receiving these rains, that too is also giving the guys a bit of a breather. So I'm generally optimistic, and I don't know if you saw what the USDA came up with, their Pretoria office. They released their early estimates, and I think they are penciling something around about 15.6 million tons for total maize. But of course, they are about 600,000 is smallholder or non-commercial, and then for commercial, it's about 15 million tons. But broadly, I mean, that's a decent crop, slightly less than last year if you look at the commercial portion. But I still think that it's a decent crop, and I think they are probably right onto that. Even though maybe we may come up slightly less than them, because I think the most important thing, Johnny, which I'm sure you're also watching, is what the area planting will be when the CEC releases that on the 28th of this month to have a sense of that. But broadly, I'm with you that we're probably looking at a good crop.
Yeah, I think I'm a bit more bearish than you in terms of I think we're going to have a better higher supply than that or a bigger crop than that. But it's just my general feeling. I can be wrong, of course, but I think in general, I think there's going to be, especially for soybeans. Maize, yeah, maybe a bit higher, but I think there's going to be a bumper soybean crop this year.
That might be true because I mean, some of the people that I was talking with, the farmers, they're talking a lot about the exports of soybeans, which then signals to the point that you're saying. And then if we have a bit of a bigger soybean, then that's even much more fantastic news in as far as the supply, but also then prices side. Because I mean, I've been feeling really bad for the guys that are in the livestock industry because they were experiencing tough foot and mouth disease, but also higher feed costs. And then now, if domestically we'll have a bit of a bigger crop while global grain prices are also coming down, it means then that looking at the July price, of maize, that means it would remain at least at these accommodative levels, which I think they are much better than what we have seen over the past few months. So really beneficial for the guys that are in the livestock and using the grains in general. Are you seeing that on a price trend? What's your feeling on a general price trend of the grains and oilseeds?
So I think given this, and as you might know, the last 3, 4, 5 years, we've really looked into the national factors as well that determine price. So our local crop was a really small percentage of what happened to prices. So we really looked into import parity prices. So from that perspective, I'm thinking prices can come down. I'm a bit bearish on those markets. We can expect a large crop from South America, and especially if weather turns now, we're heading to a more El Nino phase, locally La Nina phase in North America. We can see a bit of better rainfall as we move into their planting season in the middle of the year. And I think just that sentiment in the market can result in grain, especially maize and soybean prices to come down. And we can move to the old traditional price trends that we see lower prices in June, basically that we've seen by what the average trend was over the last 30 years, basically. So I think from that perspective, I'm seeing lower prices, grain prices, of course, low feed prices, as you mentioned. And I especially think, and I would like to have your thoughts on this as well, I think there's going to be some relief for your more intensive agricultural practices, such as poultry production, pork production. Prices that's staying on a bit of a high level. Those producers had a really rough time the last 2 years with high feed costs and electricity issues we've got. And so there were some producers that got out of the industry, lower production levels, higher commodity prices, lower feed costs. I think they can see some relief about your extensive production practices, such as beef and sheep. I think they can move into a tougher or a more difficult part of the season, basically, if we look into the seasonal swing in trends. So, yeah, basically, that's my thoughts in quick on the livestock industry at the moment.
You are quite more optimistic than me, Johnny, when it comes to the pricing side for the users. Because when you think about the long-term trend and say we'll be back in those levels in grains, because I mean, while well, South America, I mean, you're right. There's a large supply that is coming there if you look at the numbers that are coming out of Brazil. But overnight, I was increasingly worried because people are worried about Argentina. To say, look, while Brazil is getting all of these rains, still fairly dry in Argentina. So on balance, I think yes, there will be a good crop in South America, but it still worries me. But the other thing that I'm looking at is the Chinese demand to say what will happen there in the Chinese feed market demand for all of these grains. I think we need to watch that. But all put together and considering the fact that even Russia has a lot of grain that they need to put to the market, and if they are looking for their interest on that, I don't think they will undermine the grain deal in the Black Sea. They will want that grain deal to remain so that they can export that, because it seems from what I'm reading, there's a lot of a harvest that is coming out and they are running out of space, so they need to push that out. They're running out of space in the silos. Then looking at all of those things put together, I do think that the global prices, yes, will soften, but as per to what levels are we going to get back to? Are we going to get to pre-2019 levels? I don't know. I think we'll still be at relatively elevated level than that, but surely better than what we saw right after Russia invaded Ukraine, or even for last year. So, from that perspective, he's better out the guys that are in the feed, and as well as the that are in the livestock as well as in the poultry. But of course, the electricity stuff is another challenge there. I mean, dairy farmers, poultry farmers, we need to find a near-term intervention there. There's a lot of work that has been done on that energy task team that we are part of, which I won't delve into a lot into this discussion, but I must say that there are options that will be explored, which I'm hoping that at least in the near term, those could assist Then if they are assisting, those will be announced by the Minister of Agriculture. Then you combine that with the story that we are talking about of feed and potentially improvements even in biosecurity. Then that will be a promising outlook for the livestock industry.
Yes, definitely. Hopefully there can be some relief. I know that the more intensive production practices do, we're really under pressure, not only the pork and the poultry farmers, but irrigation, as you mentioned earlier as well. And hopefully there can
Sure.
be some relief to that. And I know the agriculture or the entire GDP is basically it's a lot dependent on how good the agricultural industry, especially through COVID now. If the agricultural industry grew in terms of their economic growth and their contribution, we really saw it serve as a basis for the entire economy. So I think it's really important going forward. In terms of price predictions, in terms of grain, quick one. I really took the emotion out of everything. And given current price levels, I think we're at 4,300 thereabouts at the time of this recording. And given seasonal trends, it usually decreases as we move to July. But I think,
Yeah, as the harvest pressure comes in.
yes, and I think there's definitely a 300 or 400 rand
Yeah,
downward pressure on that.
but Johnny, aren't you worried? Sorry for speaking over you, but aren't you worried about the stocks, the stock levels at the moment?
That's the one thing that actually keeps the prices at its current levels. If you look, there's a lot of factors driving prices down now. South America, a lot of big harvest. North America, we're expecting a better harvest as we move into the planting season.
Sure.
There's lower global demand. So I think, but one thing is, of course, as you mentioned as well, is Chinese demand as they opened up after COVID. So that can pull up prices. But the one thing that's really keeping prices at current levels is stock levels, and it's really tight at the moment as well, and that's why
Yeah.
prices keep to be, or they're still very volatile. So when in news come to the market, you really see the markets reacting quickly.
The sensitivity is quite high.
Yes, and that's precisely why stock levels, and I think that's due to stock levels that's still tight. So it can keep prices on a slightly higher level, but I think negative sentiment will try to push prices downwards. But what's really worrying is that a lot of farmers didn't use pricing mechanisms this year to keep their risk down. So they haven't
Was
really
there
priced
what
in.
do you think people had a feeling that we still have a bit of a higher prices for some time? What was the thinking?
The feeling is that prices went up the last 3 4 years. Prices went up in July, and that's why
Yeah.
we had slightly dry weather in North America. So there was some support, COVID,
Yeah.
etc., that resulted in these high prices.
So folks thought we found a new base.
But I think as soon as the weather turns, we move back into a dry season locally. And if that's going to happen or not, I'm not sure. I'm not a climatologist. But as soon as that happens, we can move into a low price scenario again when we move to harvest. So I don't know. That it's a difficult one to say, but I'm
But I
more
must
focused
say,
on
Johnny.
markets at the moment.
Yeah, I must say, Johnny, with all of that good outlook for now, I mean, I'm glad that we're able to talk of a big harvest at this point. Because when I look in the upcoming season, the 2023-24, I get very worried. I was looking at what the Australian Bureau of Meteorology, as well as the colleagues at the Earth Institute at Columbia, all talking about this increased probability of an El Nino in the coming season. So it's good that now we can actually enjoy the big harvest, good agricultural conditions outside, good rains, because the next couple of years may be very tough or maybe not. But I think if we can get an intense El Nino as what we saw in 2015-16, then that would be very bad for the sector. Or if it's mild like 2018, then that would be better, especially with the current soil moisture. So I'm glad that we're able to have an optimistic conversation now, because later on in the year or next year when we're looking at the next season crop, I think we're going to be looking at a very different outlook. But of course, the weather colleagues will tell us more about this as the year progresses.
Yes, definitely. And one thing I want to get your opinion on is really we had high profit levels in the grain industry the last four or five years. We had good prices, international prices. We had good yields, so we had high profit levels. Can we see the opposite of that as well? If we get a higher rainfall in the northern hemisphere, higher yields or higher stocks that coming out of North and South America, lower international prices, and then of course a drier weather locally, which can mean slightly lower yields. So can we see low prices, low profits as we move into the next 2 or 3 seasons?
I think Johnny, farmers would be mad at you for saying they saw higher prices because I mean the input costs were ridiculous. I would even say the higher grain prices as well as the large yields were a bit of assisted a lot because if you're looking at the fertilizer, as you discussed in one of your sessions, and you looked at the agrochemicals and all of those things, they really did eat up what would have become a potentially higher profit for the guys. But I mean, I get your point, and you're right on that to say there were still better financial conditions. We saw tractor sales being very promising, which means that people had a bit of money to go and spend and get something. But the point you're raising is an important one because the market was driven largely by those global factors. Now, as the swing changes and then the northern hemisphere starts to get even more favorable weather conditions in South America, and I think then that will drive the prices down globally, then the profits and the profitability will become fairly tight. The hope then is that the input costs going into the next season, fertilizer prices specifically, and fuel, if they can moderate or continue to moderate, as we already see the prices coming down, that would be very helpful. Because if that doesn't happen at the same rate, then it will be very tough for the next season.
Yeah, I think that's important point that you raised there is in terms of the how input costs are coming down at the moment, but the rate at which it comes down, will that be the same as commodity prices? We know commodity prices can fluctuate extremely from day to day, but input costs can start trending downward. But we all know that the sticky downward prices will stay as high as possible for as long as possible, and that's a economic it's a market condition. It's not anybody's fault, but hopefully prices can then moderate to accommodate the certain profit levels and the yield as we go into the next season or two.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that those are some of the things that we're out to look out for in the market. Pay attention to global factors, pay attention to the weather, as well as we move to the new season. But I would say still, as we conclude the conversation, in the near term for South Africa, fairly positive about the agricultural conditions. Of course, still worried about the electricity issue, particularly for everyone that is in fruits, vegetables that depend on irrigation, and the certain areas of grains that, as we said earlier on, that depend on irrigation. But put everything together and focusing only on grains and oilseeds, the outlook is still fairly promising, that we will have harvests that are generally above long-term averages for much of the crops, specifically the bigger ones, which is maize, soybeans, and sunflower. I'm holding that optimism. Then, as we get towards the end of the year, we have to watch and see how that weather outlook looks like, and then we'll get a sense of what the next season will be.
Yes, I fully agree with you. I think for this year, it's really optimistic about the other outlook. Hopefully, the levels of profit levels will be to a sufficient level. But I think we must reassess towards the end of the year, as soon as the planning for the next season starts. We can reassess where the weather is driving different prices, because I think it will definitely be a weather-driven system. Going over to the next year's season of the next crop, and weather will play a crucial role in international prices, the input costs and the yields, and ultimately the profit levels of our farmers locally as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then we'll probably then do another session where we will recap to say, look, these are some of the things we were thinking about at the start of the year. Where are we at this point? And I think that will be useful to do that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much, Wandile. It's very interesting to talk to you and you're getting your perspective. And yeah, hopefully we're holding thumbs for this coming season and all our farmers, yeah, to keep producing food and making sure that our country is still food secure.
Yeah, man, I enjoyed this. Thanks so very much for doing this.
Thank you, Wandile.